what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Been preaching out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I would that you turn there, Hebrews chapter 11, and we want to pick up at verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6, recorded are these words. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, and we wonder as we grow in the Christian faith, what does it take to please God? How can we please God? Are we pleasing God? One of the things that becomes conspicuously obvious is that his word tells us what pleases him. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to make up. We don't have to make believe that God is pleased with our living. All we got to do is know his word. And one of the things that I like about the word of God is God makes it as plain and simple for the believer to understand his will and his way if he or she is truly and sincerely interested in knowing the ways of God. God is not trying to cloak his desire for our lives. He's not trying to keep mysteriously his desire for our lives, but he does want us to seek after him, to come after him, to desire him, to want to know what it is he wants for us. And so every now and then it costs us something to follow him. To reach a new level in him, to grow and mature in him, it requires something of us other than coming to church on Sunday morning and maybe the Bible study or prayer service during the week. It costs more than that. And so when we begin to know the word of God, study the word of God, which Paul writes to young Timothy in the second chapter and 15th verse when he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word is so that believers will do like the Bereans and check the word, search the word, seek out the word for the meaning and the discovery that's found within the word. In other words, if you really want to know something, you're going to have to dig a little bit. You're going to have to exert energy. You're going to have to make a concerted effort in discovering what it is, one, that you want to know, but two, God wants you to know. So when we talk about a pleasing God, the first word in verse 6 says, but. It's a conjunction, but it's a transitional word. And so because it starts off with but, it joins together verse 5. Verse 6 will make a whole lot more sense if you join verse 5 with it to understand why it starts off saying but. Work with me, wait, if you don't mind, so I can make it plain. Verse 5 says, but by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. How did he please God? Go back to the beginning of verse 5. By faith. Enoch was translated. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying here? By faith. And see, when it says he had this testimony that he pleased God, it goes back to the beginning, by faith. And so verse 6 comes into play by saying, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible. Now, when it says this, my brothers and sisters, it means that it's impossible to please God with anything less than faith. It means that no matter what your tryings are, what your givings are, what your desire is to please him, if faith is left out of the process, then God gets no glory out of it. In other words, even to accept God, you got to have faith. To love God, you've got to have faith. To grow in God, you've got to have faith. To live by God's word, you've got to have faith. To give, you've got to have faith. To work, you've got to have faith. You don't believe it? We walk through this 11th chapter and find out that it is noted as faith's hall of fame. Well, verse 4 talks about by faith how Abel worked. Verse 5 talks about by faith how Enoch walked with God. Verse 7 talks about how Noah, by faith, had wisdom. Verse 8, 9, and 10 talks about by faith Abraham was willing. Verse 10 and 11, 11 and 12 says by faith Sarah was worthy. And verse 13 says that all of them died in faith, waiting on the promise. But they saw afar off, and they were persuaded, and they embraced, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, even though they didn't see it in the natural, they never thought that God wouldn't do what he said. That even after they were gone, God was still going to honor his word. Word, and God kept his promise and was faithful to the very end. And I'm gonna walk on through the rest of this as we go through this process, but I want you to understand it requires faith. You can't please God without faith. I don't care how much you give him. If your giving is not in faith, then God is not pleased with it. I don't care what your living is. See, there are a whole lot of folk who go to church, but they aren't righteous. They're religious, but they're not righteous. And your religion doesn't please God. That's why there are so many different religions, but your righteousness does. Because all through this chapter, you're going to find out that righteousness is of faith. Of faith. Faith is how you get started. Faith is how you continue. And faith is how you end it. And so without faith, how can you please a God of faith? Paul said, Galatians 2, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's clear that, listen, it takes faith to please God. Now look at this, because as we walk through verse 6 again and recognize for our own benefit, that it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now the question becomes, are you trying to please him or who are you trying to please? Because we spend so much of our lives trying to please the wrong person. How many times can you look back over your life and see countless hours, days, months, and years you've wasted on trying to please the wrong person? If y'all get quiet, I'm gonna think you got a problem right now. How many times have you wasted time trying to please God without faith? You served on this board, you served in this ministry, you did this, you went there, you did all the other, but you did not do it in faith. You did it out of custom, you did it out of tradition, you did it because somebody asked you, but you didn't do it out of faith. This is my calling. This is what God has called me to, chosen me for. I'm operating out of that I know God's called me into. So I'm sorry if what I do don't please you. That was not my intention. And you've got to learn, Jesus at 12 years old, when he had come to that pivotal point in his life and they presented him to the temple, and there he spent his time when he entered in the temple there, all of his time there when his parents came back to Jerusalem, and there when they left to go home, Jesus was still in the temple. His parents had gone about a day's journey or so, and they started looking for Jesus and say, hey, have y'all seen Jesus? Well, because they traveled in caravans, family and friends. Everybody knew everybody. So every now and then, family, little boys and all would be playing with each other in the caravan and little girls with each other. And they'd be with their family for a day or during the trip and so forth. So they weren't really worried. They figured he was somewhere with somebody. And when they searched all through the caravan, did not find Jesus, they recognized he was still in Jerusalem. But now here's the strange thing about it. They searched all over Jerusalem. And it wasn't until they remembered the last place they saw him. And the church was the last place they went. And that was the place where Jesus was. And they somewhat got upset with Jesus. And Jesus says, but wait a minute. Don't you realize, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Now, Jesus was making clear by faith at 12 years old, he knew what he was to do. And you hear no more about him until he becomes 30 years old and he's entering into his public ministry. But at 12, by faith, he knew what he was supposed to do. See, can I tell you, when you walk by faith, you don't always, or God doesn't always wait until you in your middle years or in your older years to recognize what he's got for you to do. Matter of fact, Jeremiah, he called him while he was yet in his mother's womb. He made him a prophet unto the nations when he was just a little boy. Told him, boy, I got an assignment for you and you're going to do it for me. And he made it clear what his assignment was to him. But God took a long time before he brought it to full fruition. But by faith, Jeremiah functioned in the calling of his life. See, there are many of us here today, we go to church, but we are not operating in faith.
Amen.
There are some people sitting on the pews that ought to be in ministry work. Not in a ministry, but ministry work. Not just in a church, but working in ministry where God has called you to. But so many times, we don't operate in faith. We don't walk in faith. We don't talk in faith. We don't live in faith. And so when we know better and don't do it, James says it's sin. Some of the best voices could very well be right there in the pew. Some of the best evangelists, preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, Bible school teachers, could be right there in the pews. Some of God's best witnesses and encouragers, people who've been given gifts for the body of Christ, right there in these pews. But because they're not operating by faith, they let fear take hold of them and move contrary to the will of God. Listen, everybody may not have your gift. And one of the worst things to do is to discuss your gift with giftless folk. Let me make it simple and plain. Don't ever ask a non-tither, should you tithe? You're getting warped information. You're getting wrong inspiration. You getting somebody who is not qualified to talk about tithing. If you want to tithe, begin tithing. You need to find a tither and say, what are the benefits of tithing in your life? Does it really work? Is it really real? But don't ask somebody who don't give anything about giving. No, they can be a part of every other kind of social group. Every kind of social civic club, this, that, the other. But when it comes to God, they're small-minded. No. Find somebody doing what God's called them to do, especially if it's in your arena, if it's in your area, and seek them. That's wise counsel. That's wise counsel. Problem is, people connect with the wrong ones because instead of operating in faith, they operate in fear. And you sit on your gifts and the blessings that the Lord has given you. And you know that God has given them to you, but fear paralyzes you, grips you, and makes you afraid to get up and to go on into the things God's called you to do. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, you'll never have a peace underneath the skin like God intends for you to have until you operate in faith. And so the word of God says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is. Believe it before you come to him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. In other words, when you come to God for a prayer request, when you go to God asking God to do this, to do that, when you go to God asking him for directions, when you go to God for whatever the reason might be, know that before you ever go to him that he's got the answer for you. You don't ever go to God doubting God. When you go to God, you already know that God's got the answer that you need, and nobody has it but God. That he is the answer. That he is the one. That he is the way maker. That he is the burden lifter. That he is the one to do all that thou needeth him to do. Believe it before you go to him. It says, and that he is a rewarder. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I love this portion of the verse, because when you look at it and you understand it, you begin to see that, first of all, when I go to God, I've got to go in faith. That's the first thing. Because I can't please him. And listen to this. If my ways don't please the Lord, I've got troubles. Because the Bible says when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace. So I know I first got to go to him in faith. And when I go to him in faith, I've got to believe that he's the right one. That he is. He's everything I need. And I love the way they leave it open-ended, as it's called, because you fill in what you need him to be in your own life. Believe that he is. He is what? Whatever I need him to be. I know that he is whatever I need him to be, because he is the one, the same one, who will reward me. Now, he can't reward me if he's not the right one. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently. This little word diligently, those in Bible study knows that it's a serious, sincere search successfully for God. It's so important that you recognize God is not looking for folk who are just looking for him, but people who are seeking him. See, when you start looking for something, be it God or anything else, it depends on how long you look for him, that you become tired, disgusted, discouraged, and you stop looking. You count it not worthy to continue to look. But when you seek him, the end result is, I'm not going to stop seeking till I find him. Till I find him. Listen, he's a rewarder of them, not everyone, but of them that diligently. My question becomes, your seeking God, has it become diligent yet? Or has it become a part-time look? Treating God without the respect that he deserves, and knowing that God is the answer and he has the answer, and you'll only find it if you seek him. Yes, what happens oftentimes is the enemy will run interference in the midst of your seeking and cause you to become confused, and then you give up the search. That's not diligence. But the diligence that God is looking for comes from those who are serious and sincerely seeking him, searching for him successfully. Meaning that they may have to take a break, but they're going to continue. Meaning they may have to take a rest, but they're going to continue. Meaning they may have to cry sometime, but they're going to wipe the tears from their eyes and keep on looking for him. It means they may be knocked down sometime, but they're going to get on up, shake the dust off them, and keep on looking. It means they're not going to give up till they find what God has for them and what God has in them. And so we must diligently seek him, because for that, he promises to reward us. Now, here's the question. If you knew that God was the answer, and if you knew God had the answer, and if you knew that if you kept on looking and searching and seeking for it, that surely you would find it, then the question becomes, would you give up on God? Would you give up on God? Because here's what God wants you to know. If you seek him while he may be found, you'll find him. If you call on him while he's near, he'll hear you. And you've got to understand that option that you have is for a limited time only, because when life comes to an end and you've not done those things, you will not have the privilege nor the pleasure of being in his presence eternally. So when you do it, it means you have to do it in the time that's allotted. And that's right here. That's right now. That's giving it all you've got while you've got what you've got to give. And do it, listen, let me say this to some of you young people. Do it while you've got strength. Do it while you're in that place in your life where you can give God your best. Honor God. Remember God in the days of your youth. Don't give all your best days to the devil, to the enemy. Don't be fooled and hoodwinked and give up everything that you've got, and then when you come to the Lord, there's nothing worth giving him. But even then, that's the faithfulness of our God, just as you are. Some people I've seen get, as the old folks say, religion late in life. 70, 80, and even one man in his 90s found the Lord. And what a sincere desire they have at that point, but not the energy nor the life to serve him like they want to serve. They've lived the life in the world, for the world, and have been hoodwinked by the world.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.